I'll tell you anything you need to know, Pat.
Okay, well, tell me something about where you come from.
I was born in Portadown, and I was brought up in Monaghan. My mother was from Armagh, my father was from Monaghan. And they got married in 63, and I arrived in 1964. And I grew up in Monaghan. I went to school in Clontibret. My parents were living in Clontibret. At that stage, I went to primary school there, and then I went to the Louis Convent Secondary School in Monaghan Town, which was 8 miles away from our house. So I had to get up at 7:30 in the morning and cycle to the end of the road to get the bus at 8 o'clock to go to the secondary school, the convent. I used to park my bike in under the Protestant school, Mrs. Garland's school, it was called. And the bike was never touched. I didn't lock it nor nothing. I just threw it there and was there when I got back at 5 o'clock in the evening from school. So I spent all my years in secondary school, and whenever I did the leaving, I got 3 honours and 2 passes and 2 fails. And my honours were in, hold on till I think, English, maths and art. My 2 passes were history and geography, and I won't tell you what I failed.
No, don't. You shouldn't have told us at all about the fails.
Okay. But I do like to brag.
Oh, well, you did very well. And then shortly after that, you came to Dublin.
I came to Dublin in 1983 to work in Vincent's Hospital as domestic. My sister and myself and my Auntie Margaret. Aunt Margaret's still working there in Vincent's Hospital in Ellen Park. I left there. Well, I worked there for 5 or 6 years. I enjoyed it, but then management and cutbacks and all that interfered with the atmosphere in the place. And it got to be, it didn't rebel me, but I didn't enjoy working there as much as I used to work there. I left there in 86 to work with a fashion designer in town in Little Strand Street, and Marika von Engelbrechen. That's a mouthful for you. I used to work for her. She come up with new designs all the time. I was fascinated working with her, and I used to model some of her clothes and that for, you know, I'd see up on the table so she'd get the hems right and all. So I loved it that she had a cubicle in the Powers Court Centre in Grafton Street, and to see her work hanging up there was just brilliant, because you knew that you helped make that jacket or that skirt or whatever. It did give you an awful big head, but it was lovely. So I met Tommy then in 1983 as well. I met Tommy at a Dire Straits concert in Punchertown. And that was on the 17th of July, 83. And we kept in touch and contact and fell in love and, you know, the usual. And we got engaged in 1985 in December the 2nd. And we got married then in 24th of December 1988. And we got married on my parents' silver wedding anniversary.
Oh, that was very nice.
So it all worked so well together, you know. And I made my own wedding dress, and Mum's a seamstress as well, see. So it was in my blood anyway, whether I liked it or not, you know. So Mum had me cut out my wedding dress, because there was no pattern created for the dress that I wanted to make. So there was no point in even going near Hickey's, because they wouldn't have had the dress I wanted.
So it was a very special dress.
It was different, all right, yes. Slightly different. And then we had three bridesmaids. I was handy at a lot of things. Like I even did bacon and that as well. Not your roast, your Sunday roast, no. Tommy did that. But I'd make your Swiss roll for you, or your fairy cakes, or, you know, your Battenberg and things like that.
Nice things.
Did that, yeah.
The exotic things.
Yes. Okay. Bad for your figure things.
Yes, well, there's nothing wrong with it now. So then you bought your own house.
Yes, in the 91, we bought 32 Chyfield Close in Hartstown. So we did. And it was... Oh, I forgot to tell you that after we got married in 88, we went to England for 3 years. Myself and Tommy, because as per usual, never no work here. Tommy did, he's a big builder. And we had to go to England, and then by the November 91, I just had enough of England. I come home. Mm. So Tommy followed me home anyway. And we ended up in the house. It was in 92. We bought the house in Hartstown. And then I was working for Regency Hotel beside the airport. I was receptionist there. That's right. And I was receptionist in the tax office in Grafton House. On Grafton, I know. I can't think of the name of the street. Anyway, and then there was one day that I lost my balance and I closed my finger in the door. I bursted my little finger open. So I went to James Connolly Hospital thinking, oh, this is it now. There's a bone and it's going to fly into my heart and give me a heart attack and I'm going to die. So I went to James Connolly Hospital. I didn't, I arrived at the hospital at lunchtime and I explained about my wee finger and they took me in. I was in very quick into getting looked at, you know, in the A&E, and there was two doctors. Remember, there was one doctor, I don't know if he was Jewish or what, but his hair was longer than mine and his sideburns were longer than mine and they curly. And they never looked at my finger even to this day. But the Jewish doctor observed that my left eye was jumping up and down, which I got well used to. I didn't pass no marks at this stage. And he made me do a few neurological tests. And at 6:30 that evening, I was in the bed in James Connolly Hospital. I remained for 3 weeks. I got a brain scan and MRI scan and lumbar puncture in that 3 weeks. Then Dr. Orla Hardiman, first time I was to meet her, sat in my bed and told me I had MS. And I says to her, well, that's grand. Can you give me some tablets and I'll go home? That's how much I knew about MS. And in that case, ignorance was bliss. And I dare anyone to disagree with me. No. So I was discharged with a walking stick. So it was. If I had been honest with myself, I knew there was something wrong. But you know us women, we plough on anyway. So she diagnosed me as 24-hour-a-day cure. So this was on the 23rd of June in 97, whenever Orla told me the news. So I stopped working. I plied on managing to hold on to walls, managing with my walking stick. And I ended up on the 11th of November in 99, ended up in a wheelchair after spending 2 weeks in James Connolly Hospital again. And when they released me from James Connolly Hospital, it was to go to Piedmont Hospital.
But in the meantime, you had your son, even after you were diagnosed.
Yes. That's the bit the doctors didn't agree with.
All right.
They had the impression that carrying a child exacerbated the MS.
Right.
And me, being me, just didn't listen. And I had my son on April the 15th in 1998.
And that was about a year after you were diagnosed.
Yes.
Okay, that was brave, but...
But it was brilliant.
Right.
It was... went into labour on the 15th of April. Went into labour at 10 to 7 in the evening. And we arrived at 10 to 10 the same evening. So I was in labour for about 3 hours.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, so what's to complain about?
So how old was Wayne when you needed to go into the wheelchair?
He was about 1 and a few months.
Right.
So he was.
And was it Dr. Orla Hardiman who suggested payment?
Suggested that I needed to go into a home.
Right.
Or a care institution or whatever. She didn't mention any hospital in particular, but it was Piedmont that was I was chosen for.
Right.
I remember getting interviewed before I come here to Piedmont, and I remember the gentleman that came to interview me. He was definitely a Donegal man. He had an orange Aran jumper on him. I'll never forget that. So anyway, we got on grand, and next thing I was in Piedmont. So I was, so my whole life was turned upside down. I was taken into St. Mary's unit. They had just reopened that unit, and I was the second patient to arrive at it. I was beaten by 3 hours by Alice Ginty. And I was like in the twilight zone. I didn't know what was happening to me, really. I was going with the flow and just, you know, doing what I was told, and I didn't know what was expected of me or anything like that.
Well, it all happened so quickly.
Yeah, it did.
You know, going from being very busy to being in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's been very difficult.
And having the baby as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
And leaving him behind.
I know.
That was probably the hardest bit.
Well, in a way, like, Tommy was very good. Brought him in to see me every day.
Right.
So I can't complain about that. You know, like...
So you had him every evening?
Oh,
or so.
Yes. Well, for an hour and a half or so. They'd arrive about 7:30 and they'd leave about 9.
Right.
Every evening. Except for Wednesday, whenever one of my relatives come up from Monaghan. Whether it's my mother, father, brother's sister... Like Gregory, my brother, David, my brother, and then there was Pauline, my sister, and she was married, and Eddie, they're actually coming up this afternoon. I have had another sister, Fiona,
yeah.
God rest her, she's dead now 2 years. She died on Paddy's Day. Talk about picking your days, so no one will forget. She was up a few times as well to see me.
So you have a good network of support out there.
Oh,
from
yes.
Monaghan and from home.
Yes, yeah.
Right. So how did you adjust to being in here?
Like I said, it was like twilight zone.
Yes.
And I was only about a fortnight here when this lady called Mary Lee came in to see me. I didn't know Mary, never met her in my life before. And Mary was coming and she was telling me about all the activities that they do over in St. Kevin's. And you'll have to come over and join this activity, and you'll have to give it a try and see how you get on and all. Now, Mary would put it into my head that somehow it was my idea in the first place. I don't know how she did it, but she did. So,
right.
Whether it was art, dramatics, computers, written short stories.
Creative writing. I've read some of those of yours.
That's right. At the moment now we're working on a project because it's Payman's 100th anniversary. We're going to put a book together. I have 11 stories put forward for the book, but there are about 10 of us here, in 10 clients here in Payment. We all have at least 2 stories each to put into the little book. We haven't decided on a name yet for the book, but the last time we did it, we called it Shinshkale Ella, and I had 4 stories in that book. So I must have a pretty good imagination. So there's 3 of my stories definitely going into this new book. Shinshkale Ella 2, we'll call for now. I don't know. To make up the pages that need to be filled, whether some of the clients have 1 story, 2 stories, it'll all balance out. There's enough material there from everyone to fill the book and keep everyone happy, and then use the book as a fundraising as well.
Right.
We're fundraising at the moment. I'm doing the 6-mile marathon to raise money here for payment to put towards bounding the books. To raise money to bound the books.
So, that's where will you do the marathon?
It's all over Ireland.
All right, it's not within the grounds.
It's on the 4th of June.
All right, and will you be able to push yourself?
No, I have a friend that came up with that idea.
All right.
That she was going to push me.
Oh, brilliant.
It was her that thought of it, and I said, oh yeah, and to raise money. I'll dabble in anything.
And is that the June bank holiday?
Yes, that's correct, the 4th of June.
All right.
Yeah.
And are you training for that in any way?
I look like I can train for it. I'm burning rubber here. I'm burning rubber here in the wheels. I'm working that hard. The girl Polly Hayes that I'm doing it with, she was the one that they studied with me when I was doing my computer the JEB it's called, for the computer to be a computer teacher.
Right.
And that was, I got that certificate on the 28th of October that was 2 years ago, 2010.
So you're a qualified computer teacher, and you've done that since you came in here.
Yeah.
And do you help people here?
Oh, yes, I help towards the computer class here on Wednesday morning.
Right.
Which I started off in doing myself, in 2003, I think it was, when I first started to do computer lessons over here. And I end up a teacher out of it.
That's fantastic. So between your creative writing, your computer teaching, you're involved with dramatics and art as well?
Yeah. Well, we did do dramatics here. And I ended up writing some of the scripts myself and acting it out. And we actually, as the Riverbank Hotel, no, the Riverbank Community Centre or something. I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure about
it. No, it doesn't matter.
We actually, the clients and all went to the Riverbank to act out the play.
Oh, that was very exciting.
So we did. So it was another aspect, another branch to my tree.
Right.
We enjoyed that very much.
And you've done a few other amazing things for fundraising as well.
Oh, the parachute jumping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did that about the 21st of July in 2001. I raised 10,000. And 10,500, I think it might have been pounds then. Oh God,
By doing parachute jumps.
Yeah, but I have done about 7 now altogether.
Yeah.
Because I did do 3 when I was well.
Right.
But then I've done 5 from I come here, and 2 of them were for raising money. One was the 10,500. The second job I did then was later on, you know, like a few years later, and I only managed about €700 or something to raise then.
Well, that wasn't bad.
But it was better than nothing.
Yes, yeah.
You know? So,
you were very brave.
And I flew a helicopter.
You flew a helicopter?
Yes.
Where did you do that?
In City West.
Oh, a Western.
Western,
Western,
yeah.
Western.
Yes.
Right, you went over there.
But I only did it once because he only raised the helicopter 10,200 feet. Sure, no good to me.
Where did you want to go?
Whenever you're in a parachute jump, Dick, you're talking 10,000 or more.
Oh, really?
10,300 feet.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
I did that down in Clambalogue in Offaly. I'm a member of the club down there.
Right.
You know?
So have you another one planned?
I've been asked to do one, nothing to do with the hospital here. I've been asked to do one. I can't say too much about it at the moment.
Right.
It's for the raise money for a friend.
Okay. Well, that would be amazing.
And I don't care. I'll parachute jump every day if you want me to. You raise some money and I'll jump. All right. Is that fair enough?
Gosh, that's fantastic. But to fly a helicopter is amazing too.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, the way whenever you're learning how to drive.
It's just
and the controls
same.
Are on both sides of the car. It's the same in the helicopter.
Right.
Controls are on both sides of the helicopter. So it was easy.
Yeah.
It got boring.
So you settled in very well here and you have an amazing life inside the place.
But I keep myself busy. I don't give me time to think and ponder on things.
On being miserable.
That's just not me anyway.
So when I said you were very adaptable because you had to move from using your right hand to your left hand.
Yeah. Well, I've discovered that now. I can sign my signature better with my left hand than I can with my right hand. My right hand, I can hardly hold a pen or pencil. But with the left hand, I can hold pen, no problem. And you can make out my autograph, my signature. But I've discovered it doing the painting. I'm painting with acrylics at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm
and that's with your left hand.
I'm doing that with my left hand now, yeah.
That is a big change, wasn't it?
It was a surprise to me. Because whenever I first started the art class, I automatically lifted the paintbrush with my right hand, but discovered I could do nothing with it, except sit and look at it.
Yeah.
So I took the paintbrush over my left hand and I was working away.
So there's
not
no
perfect,
stopping,
but getting
it's
there.
It's getting better all
yes,
the time.
Yes, yeah, it's improving.
Yeah, you said the body itself was very adaptable.
Oh, by God, it is. Well, yeah, you need the brain to go with adapting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, and you need the attitude.
Yes. So you have a very positive attitude about getting
busy.
Life, haven't you? Keeping busy.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
And a positive outlook.
There's only two things that I miss now from my end up in the wheelchair is I loved driving. I loved my Cordoba. I called her Lucy and all, you know.
A little car.
Less a little.
Sorry.
A decent sized car.
Sorry.
No, you're thinking of the wee Beta, the baby one. The Seat Cordoba was my car.
Oh.
And I loved her. I bought her brand new. And I must knew every road in Ireland, you know that? Because I love driving that much.
Right.
So there was.
And the other thing you miss.
Which one was that?
I think you said you miss sewing.
Because, of course.
Because, I mean, anyone who made their own wedding dress.
Yes,
And belonged to a seamstress family.
Now, that is one thing I cannot conquer now at this stage.
But maybe
I cannot thread a needle.
Mm.
And you need your right hand to be able to thread well. Quite sure, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I missed that so much. And even, well, maybe now that I've started the art, I could do sketches. But my heart wouldn't be in it the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather keep away from things that might depress you a wee bit. So,
right. So you enough don't activities know. Yeah. To keep you going.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And Wayne and your husband come up regularly.
Yeah. Well, Tommy comes up to me at 7:30 every evening during the week. We'd say Monday to Friday. He comes at 7:30 and leaves at 9:00. Now, Wayne being the age he is at the moment, I don't think Wayne loves his mummy as much now as he used to. Because he can't squeeze mummy in between friends. So you have to put up with whatever you get, don't you? But then I go up to the house 2:43 at the weekends.
Oh, you go home every weekend?
Yeah. Right. I'd go home maybe on Friday evening or Saturday. Depends on circumstances and how well I feel in that.
Yeah.
And then I'd come back maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. Depends on, do you see, that's how flexible Pima is.
Isn't that fantastic?
That I come and go as I like.
Yeah, and you told me you were able to keep an eye on Wayne's homework.
Oh, yes.
When he came in, you know, as a smaller child.
Yes, he used to come in. And he'd lay down flat on the floor and take out the homework and do the homework on the floor.
And I believe he's a good musician.
Oh, yeah. February last year, Wayne said he wanted to play the guitar. So we got him a guitar and we got him a teacher. Oh, he plays it beautiful. Eric Clapton, Brian May haven't got a patch on him.
So he's doing
brilliant.
Well.
Yeah,
right.
And I was afraid that maybe after a couple of months he'd get fed up with it, you know, and kind of throw the guitar there. Not a chance. He was in with the engineer on Saturday to fix up a few wee things on his electric guitar that had gone faulty, you know, that wasn't staying tuning or whatever. So he's happy now, and he went off then to his music teacher. He goes to John every Monday evening. From 6:30 to 8:30.
But I suppose it's not surprising that he likes music, because you're a big fan yourself.
I am, myself and Tommy, but you didn't really meet at a concert.
Yes.
We've been to about roughly 80 concerts. So we have.
And you're still going out to concerts?
Oh, yes, yes. We've been trying to, just this morning, trying to book tickets for Bruce Springsteen is coming in July, and of course, no, my luck. The tickets are all gone, but we are going to go to Guns N' Roses because Wayne wants to go.
Oh.
So we booked them tickets this morning for them, and that's in the end of May. So that's another concert for it coming up.
Right, so you go out to a lot of concerts.
Yeah. It's great the way that they have the wheelchair facilities now. Especially in the O2 and in the RDS and that.
Oh, right.
And even down Slane, they have the wheelchair facilities, yes.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, they've all come out, kept up with the times, you know. They're brilliant. No more playing through mud for me.
That's great. Well, so it's only right, isn't it? And you have your own room here.
I have, yeah.
And
The museum. People have called it a museum. Because I've kept all my concert tickets, and I've got them framed, roughly about 8 tickets per frame, and it just fills the wall. And then on the other wall I have all my parachute certificates and my helicopter, and then over to the right I have a big picture of John Wayne, you know, from The Quiet Man. Hence, that's how Wayne got his name, was from John Wayne. And over then on the right I have a collage of all my family photos. And then on my shoulder I have pictures of Phil Lennart and Bruce Shields. Bruce Shields is a patron for here. So please God, now he'll be arriving for the 100th anniversary.
I
sent him an email, so I'm waiting on to reply to it.
Oh, I hope he does.
Yeah, and over on that wall there is all the concert tickets and a huge big picture of Freddie Mercury, because Queen, well, I'm still mourning Freddie Mercury, even though he died in November 91. I'm still mourning him.
Right, so you're a big fan of modern music.
Definitely, yes.
Okay, definitely. And your friends here, Siobhan?
I'm friends with everyone in the place.
Yeah, especially if you're the expert on computers. They're all looking for help.
I'll help anyone that needs help. I don't mind. And no matter what they're doing or what they're trying to do, I will. And if I don't know the answer, I will look it up and I will find the answer for them. You know?
And have you any weaknesses, Siobhan?
Have I a weakness? Oh, coffee?
Oh, no. But what about being on eBay?
Oh, stop. My brother showed me how to shop on eBay. That was the worst thing he ever did.
And what do you buy?
Oh, my weakness. Oh, yeah. Jewellery. Well, gold and diamonds. Well, but they're investments. They are investments for the future. And I don't mind buying the odd diamond ring now and again.
Right. Well,
so I don't do the necklace and that. Yeah, and earrings and that.
Yeah, the earrings are beautiful.
It makes me feel good. I like to have... Like, other ladies, girls go into town and they want to buy loads of clothes. I want to go to town, I want to buy loads of jewellery.
Right.
You know, that is the way. Like, if you put me in a potato sack, I'd be happy as Larry, you know? As long as I can wear my earrings and my necklaces and that.
Yeah. So, you have a good time here. You're here half the week and at home the other half.
Yes.
The week.
Yeah.
And you're involved in advocacy.
Correct. That makes you feel like a solicitor being involved in that. Jenny Cullen is her name. Brilliant lady. And she would put you on the correct road to... there isn't, but say, for example, there was a member of staff that was making your life hell, uncomfortable. Yeah. And you'd have no one to turn to. Jenny would have been the lady to turn to. She put you on the straight road, tell you exactly where you stand, legally wise, what you can say to that person, what you should say to that person, or who else you should go to, namely Jenny. Jenny was only brilliant. You know, like, she was a teacher. She really opened my eyes for the legality of saying there was a pothole out in the street and my wheelchair fell into the pothole, and me, of course. Well, then she would point me what council should I go to, or even, I know, if you're really that way inclined for your claim or whatever, which never crossed my mind anyway. But she was a great lady in that field.
And she helped you to see how the public should treat you.
Really. Yes, exactly. Like, if we went to, for example, if I went to a pub in town and there were no disabled toilets in it, I have a right to get onto an omnibus man to complain that pub
didn't have
a toilet, and you have the right to more or less force them to make a disabled toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Without sounding too harsh.
Yeah, no, I mean,
she was brilliant.
We've done an awful lot around here
in the grounds of Piemont.
Work and legal work and all that. Now, you did say you didn't miss having a personal assistant, that it almost made you more independent.
Yeah. That's true. I had a personal assistant for 2 years, but then with the cutbacks and that, no more. So you just get on with it.
Mm.
You know, you don't have much choice.
Yeah.
Like, the nurses are great over in Breeds, and they will paint your nails, whereas your personal assistant used to do that for you.
Right. So the nurses are doing it.
Yeah.
And
your
plat.
Oh, the plat that I've had for the last 12 years. My French plat.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone knows me for that.
And who does that for you?
One of the girls over there. There are three girls over in Simbreed.
Nursing assistants.
Yes.
Great.
And Minnie, actually, the CN3, I'm not sure of that. She's the lady in blue, and she can do the French plait as well for me, if required.
Right.
But I'd like to say that in regarding the advocacy group, we got an awful lot together as a team, should I say. We managed to get the traffic lights put across the road so we could go from this part of Piedmont to the other part across the road. And we've got footpaths widened and cemented. No, beg your pardon, tarmacked. And signs put up, you know, saying that there are disabled wheelchairs in the area, just to warn drivers that weren't aware of that.
Yeah.
We did an awful lot of things around here.
Well, you seem to have an awful lot going on. Asked you, did you miss too many walks around the ground? And you said,
ach, I see enough grass. No, when I go home, there's grass. My father is a 100-acre farm down the home. So you go home, you see grass, and then you come here. I look out my window and I say, no, but there must be 10 acres outside of my window. And
you've seen
no, I leave the grass for someone else to admire.
Right.
I've seen enough green.
Okay, is there anything you'd like? I mean, you've painted a very positive picture of your life outside and your life inside. Is there anything else you think you'd like to see in here?
Well, I would like to see it, but Piedmont, it is a great establishment. All right? Now, through Mary Lee, she is the activities manager, and she can arrange so much for this place. For starters, there's an on-site hairdresser, Mary, and she's brilliant. And then there's on-site lady to cut your toenails, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also, she can arrange for, if there are two or three clients who want to go to, say, Liffey Valley for a day's shopping, she can arrange all that.
Oh, that's
or if they wanted to go to Blanchardstown or wherever, their choice, whatever their choice. Then there's what's it called? They go down to Ross Common to it. Kushla is the name of the place, that's what I was trying to think. And Mary arranges that, there's an awful lot of arranging in that as well. If you put it into Mary, she'll make it happen.
And is she going to go on with your last idea?
Which is?
You said you'd like a little facility for visitors.
Well, yes, but it'd be good to see if everyone would agree with me.
Right. What's that?
Yeah, well, a wee pub maybe. Not a big thing. Just a wee, no, I'm talking about, you know, relatives of mine come from the north.
Yes.
My mother doesn't drink. And she does often have my Aunt Rose, Uncle Pat, my Aunt Nuala down from Armagh. And instead of just sitting in my room, it'd be nice to go into the on-site pub.
Yes.
You know, and sit and converse there.
Well, that would be nice.
But I don't know if I even said that to Mary yet. At the moment, they're all wrapped up in this festival.
Yes.
Which is brilliant. My father and my brother, my father plays drums and my brother plays bagpipes. My brother David was the All-Ireland, four times All-Ireland bagpipe champion.
Really?
And he does, himself and dad, do the festivals here. That they have here, they get a marquee and all.
All right, so this is a big festival in the summer, in June here.
Yes.
And are they going to play at it?
So far, it's in the pipeline. They're still redoing their plans and whatever happens. But in the past, like for the last 7 years, Daddy and David have done the bagpipes and
here.
The drums, yeah.
Oh.
And my father has created a vintage lorry in 1958 AEC Mercury lorry, and he has brought it back to life.
Oh.
So we're going to bring it up to the festival here, and it'll be on display as well, and it thrives, it moves and all.
Oh, right.
And so he's going to get some of his friends to bring theirs as well. He's in the society.
They play on the back of us, will they?
Ach, here, they're not that good.
Okay.
They're good, but
you're
not that good.
Looking forward to the festival.
Yes, definitely.
And the 100th anniversary.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Let's say, please God, we'll just all we beg for is good weather now at this stage.
Yes, yeah.
You know, the rain doesn't help anyone. They're going to have a massive big marquee here. I believe from Fawcett's circus, the big red and white canopy.
Oh my goodness.
I heard on the grapevine that is going to be part of the arrangements. So we'll just wait and see what happens.
So there's a lot to look forward to.
Oh, there is, yes.
Right. And
very much so.
I mean, such a wonderful, positive attitude. Siobhan, thank you for talking to me.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Again.